Welcome, welcome, welcome. You just take a seat. Just one more announcement, and that is that Will will be taking pictures for the directory, if you will. So anytime that you get a chance, just ask him, and he'll. Will's in the back with his hand up. So these pictures are going to go into the directory. Appreciate if you could just take some time to make sure that we get a picture of you, so all of us could have a face to the name and a name to the face. Father, what a pleasure it is to be able to gather this morning on the Lord's Day. It's your day, Lord, and we want to set this aside to worship you, because you are worthy, you are good, you have been so thoughtful towards us, and we want to take this time to just to praise you and to acknowledge that you are the source of all good things in our life. Thank you again for the work that you've been doing in our fellowship, the way you brought us together, the new friendships that have been made, Lord, the people that have come to know Christ, for the ministries. Thank you for what you're doing, and just continue to work in and through us, we pray. And Lord, today we ask that you be speaking to our hearts, that we may hear from you from the Word of God. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could turn with me to Psalm 139, that's on page 738 of your Pew Bible. Last week, people had mentioned that I should have saved my sermon for Father's Day, and I think some people might feel that I should save my sermon for Thanksgiving Day today, but nevertheless, I don't follow the calendar very well. I'm going to be reading from verse 13 of Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. And I wonder if we could just read this verse of Psalm 106 together. Can we do that? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. For those of you who were at BQ this past Thursday, we considered a question, and the question was, you know, if you were born in a particular place, let's say Saudi Arabia, you would be a Muslim. If you were born in India, you may very well have been a Hindu, and on the list goes. And this was a question that many skeptics and atheists asked believers to consider. And the goal of the question is always to make Christians begin to see how accidental and arbitrary their faith is. That, you know, if we had been born elsewhere, maybe we wouldn't be worshiping Christ. Rather, we might be worshiping a different God. And because we were born in this particular place, that's why maybe we came to believe in Christ. And so the intention of the question is really to get us to doubt our faith, and eventually they would like us to see us leave the faith altogether. Yes, that our birth is purely a matter of chance, that our hearing about the gospel was a matter of chance, that the fact that we were born in Christian families, that too is just a pure luck, and that our relationship with Jesus is a matter of geography. And that's what we looked at on Thursday. And I want you to know that I have no intentions of dealing with this question from an apologetic point of view. I have other intentions for bringing it up. But really, there are two common ways that people look at the world and at our lives. And one of them describes everything in terms of luck. It's just chance. You know, you were born here, you were lucky, you ended up believing these things, you were lucky, you ended up having this kind of life, you were lucky, and you should thank your lucky stars, is what they would say. But of course, for us as believers, we don't look at life that way. We don't thank our lucky stars, do we? Because the stars weren't thinking about us. The stars had no intention of us having the life that we have now. Instead, we use the word providence, which is the opposite of luck. Instead of thinking that all these things just happen in our lives by chance, providence means that God was thinking about us, that God blessed us, that God chose us to be a blessing. And so that's what I really want to look at this morning. But whereas the atheists were asking this question to cause doubt, I want to ask the same question so that we could praise God, so that we could give him thanks as we think about where we were born, as we think of the family to which we were where we were raised, as we think about the country that we live in. And really, I want us to see how blessed a people we are in Christ. And that question, although it was meant unto evil, really God can turn it around and bring so much good out of it as we consider it. But friends, think about that. Some of the most important events in your life have happened completely outside of your control. And those events very often are what people refer to as complete luck, because you didn't have any choice in the matter. But with God, there is no such thing as luck. And for a believer who trusts in the sovereignty of God, in the goodness of God, there is no luck in our lives. I read that the philosopher Plato, before he died, he gave thanks to the gods for three things. He said he thanked God that he was born a man and not an animal. Of course, with Plato, you have to understand the context of reincarnation there for him. Thank God that I was born a man and not an animal. And then he said, and I thank God that I was born in Greece and not elsewhere. Greece, the place of culture, the place of wealth, the place, you know, again, so many new things that were happening there. He was just so pleased and thanked God that he was born there. And then he said, and I thank God that I was born in the days of Socrates. I got a chance to meet that man. And I want to thank God for all these things. And none of them, all right, did he choose? I mean, that's why he thanked God for them, because he said, all these things, I didn't choose them. God gave them to me as a gift, that I should be able to enjoy these things was a work of God. And again, I think if a pagan philosopher, before he dies, can give God thanks for where he was born and the way he was made and in the particular days in which he was born, should we as believers not give thanks to the God, to the sovereign God, for the things that we have in our lives? In Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, these are verses that I read regularly at dedication services. And David looks back and he says, right from the time that I was in my mother's womb, in the moment of conception, God was there. God already had a plan for me while still in my mother's womb. Now, if there's anything outside of our control, our birth is definitely outside of our control. You and I have never asked to be here. It was not because of a prayer. It was not because of your will. It was just God decided that he wanted you to be born. He wanted you to have life. And the womb isn't necessarily a safe place these days, but God wanted you here. Your life is not an accident. And, you know, David talks about how God fashioned us while still in our mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made, made in the image of God so that we could all have a relationship with him. And what does he say? He says, I will praise you. As he thinks about the fact that he was fearfully and wonderfully made, I praise you. Ever think of praising God for that which was outside of your control, for the very fact that you have life? Also, like one of the old hymns says, praise to the Lord who with marvelous wisdom has made thee, and he decked thee with health and with loving hand guided and stayed thee. Ever give thanks to God for your health? I think sometimes the only way for us to really appreciate how blessed we are in terms of our health is when we listen to other people who don't have health in a particular area of their life, or if you hang around with people who are unhealthy. I've been speaking with Lester. I spoke with Lester last night, and I was so struck by how great a blessing it is to have eyesight. There is so much that he cannot do and he cannot enjoy. So many limitations that for most of us, we don't even think about the blessing that we have because we have eyesight that works. Every one of us here, and then we can start with the eyes, but then later you can go with the fact that you can speak, you can run, you can walk. For anybody who's a nurse, Carolyn should be one of the most grateful people in this place. If you're with people and you see the physical ailments that people have and you realize that God has decked thee with health, what a blessing, and in so many ways. As I said, we take so much of this for granted, but we should learn how to be thankful for what God has given us, especially as we listen to other people sharing with us what they don't have in their own life. I want you also to just consider your family life. What did you or I have to do with who brought us into the world or who finally took care of us? Again, we had no say in the matter. It was completely outside of our control. And yet, who could deny how much of our lives have to do with the parents that we had and the family that raised us? I realize that not everybody has had a very positive experience with family. Theodore Dalrymple, he was raised in a very dysfunctional family. His parents just fought all the time. They didn't speak to each other. When his dad died, his mom wouldn't go to the funeral and so on and so forth. And as a young man growing up, he thought that family was the one place where kids get more psychologically damaged than any other place. And he started buying into the feminist idea, especially those that were anti-family. He thought that they were right. But when he became a physician, he started working with many street people, people in the ghetto, and met with them regularly. And in one of his books, he mentions, he said, "I came to the conclusion that there's one thing worse than a bad family." And he said, "And that's having no family." He realized that having no family for these people was so much worse than what he had to endure. And he began to give thanks and realized, wow, compared to this, I had it good. Compared to some of these people, I had it really good. And I thought, boy, if Theodore Dalrymple can give thanks, even in his circumstances, how much more those of you who have been raised in good and godly families should give thanks to God? Really, I mean, we have it so good if we have a family that loved us, that cared for us, that, and especially if you have a family that honored God and wanted to teach you about the Lord. Don't think of that as a small gift. It's a great act of God's providence for you. 2 Timothy 1:5. "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you." The gospel going right through the family. God using the family to minister to the next generation. You know, all parents are imperfect, but there are many, many people who would look upon you with great envy because of the family that you had. Give thanks to God for that great gift that he gave you. Especially, again, I speak to those of you who are Christians, especially those of you who were raised in a good and godly home. Let's also consider the location of our upbringing. I mean, did we have any control as to where we were going to be born, what country we were going to live in? We had no control over these kind of things. It was the will of others, as it were, and it was the work of God in and through that. And many of us, you know, being born here and raised in Canada, do you know how many people envy what we have here in this country? Do you know how much poverty there is out there? How much brokenness, war? When they look at what Canadians have, they look upon us with envy. We have it good. We have so much in this country that other people don't have. You ever hear about boat people leaving Canada? We have it good here. And you know, again, we have the Montagnard story. They are an uprooted people group. They had to flee from their country. No roots. They had people in the government that wanted to destroy them, to squash them. When they look at people who have a country, they look with a certain amount of envy. Oh, how I would love to have a home. And yet we live here, and you know, although we talk sometimes about the difficulties that we have religious freedom. We can gather. We can praise God. We can share the gospel with others. We should be a thankful people for the freedom that we have in this country. And so when the atheist says, "What if you were born elsewhere?" I say, "You're right. I should give God thanks for where he brought me up, where he allowed me to be born. I should give him thanks because it's not a matter of luck. Let's see God's hand even in that. Let's see God's providence even in these things." I want you to think also of your vocation. And again, how much of it does not and did not really depend on you? I mean, God, again, ought to get the praise for the people that we have become and the work that we do and the things that we enjoy and the gifts that we have. One of my favorite lines of all time, and I know that people have heard this many times from me, but that line from The Chariots of Fire, do you remember it? God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. Notice what he says. God made me this way. God gave me this gift. When I run, I feel his pleasure. I had a really good friend of mine who teaches philosophy in Taiwan. And I remember one day we were just talking, and he said, Vic, God gave me a good mind, and I want to praise him with it and use it for his glory. I never forgot that. What I have, God gave to me. And there are many people, Anne Frank, for example, she wrote, I'm grateful to God for giving me this gift, this possibility of developing myself and of writing and of expressing all that is within me. You know, these are people who see that what they have, they didn't create it themselves. They thank God for what they have been given. You got musical gifts, you're a fast runner, athletic, smart, whatever it is, give God thanks for the way he made you. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil. This is the gift of God, says Ecclesiastes 5:19. Praise God for what you have, even for the wealth that you have as a result of the gifts that you have. You know, again, what about marriage? Proverbs 19:14, we read, a prudent wife is from the Lord. Do you know how many people look with envy upon couples that get along well? There are many who have married people who are abusive, hostile to the faith. They're in a relationship with people that don't share their faith, perhaps. But those of you whom God has given you a prudent wife or a believing husband, you should be grateful. I wish I could have people who don't have these things come and speak to us, because usually they're the ones who can really hit home and convince you that what you have, they would be say, if only, you know, they wouldn't say these things, but they think them, if only I had what you have, I would be thankful. I would be happy. And then, of course, what about with children? Psalm 127:3, lo, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Do you remember how Hannah rejoiced when she heard that she was pregnant, and Zechariah and Elizabeth, when they heard that Elizabeth was pregnant and they had been praying for a child? They had such great struggles in their life, not being able to have children. Some of you have children so easily. You know, you just got married. First time, I'm pregnant. There are other people who've been trying for years and years and years and have not been able to. And you know, the heaviness that is upon many of them, and the struggle, the lack of joy, and just, you know, they have to learn how to trust God with that. But so many of us in this place, God has made it so easy for you. What should you do? How should you respond? Those of you who have had this gift from God. What about friendship? Is that not a great blessing? That you should have friends who really care for you, pray for you, watch over you, follow after you, mentors. For this, I have to read C.S. Lewis. He said, in friendship, we think that we have chosen our peers, But in reality, a few years difference in the dates of our births, a few more miles between certain houses, the choice of one university instead of another, posting to different regiments, the accident of a topic being raised or not raised at a meeting, any of these chances might have kept us apart. But for a Christian, there are, strictly speaking, no chances. A secret master of ceremonies has been at work. Christ, who said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," can truly say to every group of Christian friends, "You have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another." That's C.S. Lewis reflecting in his life. The friends, the people that God brought into my life, it wasn't just my choice. There's so many things that could have not made it happen. But because God was thinking about you and thinking about the other person, and he, the master of ceremonies, brings you together. Again, it's not a reward for your discrimination or good taste, rather, in finding one another out. It's the instrument by which God reveals to each the beauties of all the others. Those are the words of C.S. Lewis. And so what should that produce in us? But friends, you know, we could have all of those, and still I feel that the greatest gift of all, the unspeakable gift, would be missing in our life. I want you to just really ponder the gift of your salvation. And personally, I don't like talking about our conversion as though it was merely our choice, okay? It's all about us. We made the right choice. I don't like thinking about it that way, because no man comes to the Father except the Father draw him, or unless the Son draws him. We didn't love him first. He loved us first. And when I think of the many stories in Scripture about conversion, you just see the sovereign hand of God in people's testimonies. For me, the one that is most spectacular is the thief on the cross. I mean, there's the thief on the cross. That day, he's going to be crucified. He knows he's going to die. Lo and behold, he looks to his right or to his left, and there in the center, who is there? The Savior of the world. Jesus dies next to him the very day that he died. Will he not see the hand of God in his conversion? The Samaritan woman going to get water. Who does she meet at the well? There is Jesus. Zacchaeus discovers that Jesus is going to come his way. Just think of everybody's testimonies, and you will see the hand of God in their conversion. This is not luck, friends. This is amazing grace. And is God not to be praised in these things? I would also just encourage those of you who have been saved while you were young. That is such a great blessing for you to have come to know the Lord while you are still young. You have no idea how many trials and temptations you've been saved from just because of the timing of your conversion. For those of us in our teens, wow, what a blessing that God saved us then. What a miracle. That's when I was saved. I was saved when I was 16. I was just like amazing, because teenagers are tough. That's when most teenagers rebel. And I was a rebel at the time, but the psalmist says, "Remember not the sins of my youth." Remember that prayer? You know why? Because a lot of the people of God, looking back at their youth time, they look back and they see that it was a season of great temptation, a time of great rebellion against the Lord. So if the Lord takes you while you're young, you know how many people made a havoc of so much of their life For you to be saved while you are young, God has kept you from so much pain and others as well. Give him praise. Now, you know, many of us, we've been through trials. We're still going through trials. We're in the midst of trials. And I know that, again, these are things that we did not choose for ourselves. If we had a choice, we would say, no, thank you. But I ask that question, what if there were no God and our trials meant nothing? But because there is a God, we can rejoice. Because we know that God said that I will never leave you or forsake you, and that all things will work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The old and favorite hymn, Amazing Grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares I've already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. We have it good, guys. We have it so good compared to people who don't know the Lord. So when I think about that question, what if you were born in a different location, that, you know, in a place where people didn't know Christ, or in a country that hated Christ or persecuted Christians, or you had friends that led you astray from Christ, and so on and so forth? We have to say, yes, as I think about my life, and I think about where I was born and everything else, the Lord has been good to me. Blessed be his name. He has blessed me in so many ways. He has blessed me before I even had an opportunity to pray about these things. He already blessed me. I don't deserve any of this. So what do we draw from this? What can we draw? I'll say this with that question, what if? What if I was born blind? What if I was born in a different country? What if? I would say, first and foremost, what we are to learn from thinking that thought is that we, of all people, as Christians, as believers, should be a people of praise and glorify God. We might not be the smartest of people. We might not be the wealthiest of people. We might not be the most athletic of people. That's not expected of us as Christians. But I do believe that we as Christians should be the most thankful people on earth. We really should. When you think of how much blessing God has bestowed on us, that had nothing to do with our goodness or our wisdom, we should be a people who glorify him. And secondly, what I would draw from this is, if we have been a people who have received all of these great blessings, we have to realize that we also have now, as Christians, great responsibility towards those who do not have the things that we have been given. Jonah, if you were born in Jerusalem, now you have a responsibility to go to Nineveh and share the good news. If you've been born in a Christian home, you need to go and reach out to those who have not been born in a Christian home. If you've been born with wealth and material goods, John the Baptist put it this way, let him who has two tunics share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. It is time for us to be servants. God has blessed you in so many different ways. Now it's time to bless other people. We are called to glorify God, and we are called to be generous because we have been a people blessed by God. We are to be compassionate towards those who do not have the things that we have. And because God did all these things despite who we are, we are to be a very humble people and not take all these things and ever, communicate to people that it's because somehow we are better than others. And so, as I said, the atheist asks this question in order to do us harm, but the Lord turns it around so that we can do others good. Father, thank you. You have blessed us in so many ways. It's amazing, Lord Jesus, that we're not more thankful than we are. Canada is such a blessed country, and yet we complain so much. Lord God, teach us to be thankful. And for those, Lord, who have difficulties, great difficulties in these areas because they cannot rejoice as many of us rejoice, we remember that no matter what the trial is that you send into our life, that you have promised to be with us and that we can learn to be content, be it in plenty or in need, because you can come into our situation and make the difference. I pray for everybody here, Lord, who is struggling with a particular area in their life. I pray for each person that they will give it to Jesus. Just give it to Jesus. Leave it with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Wait upon Jesus. Have your way in our lives, Lord. You brought us so much good. May we indeed be a people of praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.